There we go. Will that wake you up? I don't know. Little drum action there. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns is off tonight, and we have a busy show lined up for you on this, the first practice day for football of 2015, the school year 2015, as uniforms are handed out today, and as the first day teams could practice, we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. Of course, tonight we'll be talking with Gary Larrabee, who is a features writer, a golf writer in particular, for the Salem Evening News. And Gary, frequent guest here on More Stuff Online. Well, actually, we should mention that it is now msonewsports.com, msonewsports.com. Parent company, of course, More Stuff Online. But our new website, if you're not there, go ahead and click on it and go on over to the new site, msonewsports.com or msonewsports.com. It's the same place. And Gary, frequent visitor, always happy to have Gary on, talking about golf tonight, and got some local stuff to mention, and also, I got to get that email that he sent back again here. Also, some national stuff, of course. Then we'll talk with Les Murray, who is the commissioner for the Cape Ann League / Northeastern Conference, and Les was on, of course, with us last year, and he'll talk about the scheduling and what is happening during football and other things taking place, MIA changes. You may have seen on our website that the MIAA is going to be holding the finals, state tournament finals in basketball this year. Actually, next spring will be held out at the Hall of Fame out in Springfield rather than at the Garden or in Worcester. So we'll talk with Les about all things Cape Ann League and Northeastern Conference, in particular the football scheduling. And then we'll also chat with Lou Ciccatelli. He's the Revere football coach, and Revere, with a brand new stadium at Della Russa Stadium. Can't wait to go over there. We'll be broadcasting, we'll actually be live video streaming the Gloucester at Revere football game on October 2. That'll be on Friday night, October 2, so that's coming up shortly. And I want to talk to Coach Ciccatelli about the Revere Patriots and how things are shaping up down there at Della Russa. And don't forget, we'll have our full broadcast schedule again this year. We have our two radio stations, of course, Channel A, Channel B, and also we've teamed up with Streamography.com once again. Andrew Nicastro, Streamography.com, will be running our video for us during our football games. And we have our first weekend. We'll be on September 11. It'll be Lynn Classical at Gloucester. That's our video game. And Beverly will be traveling to Wakefield. And on Saturday, we'll have another video game. It will be Lynn English at Swampscott. And we're really happy to say that Sylvan Street Grill, who has been a sponsor and advertiser on morestuffonline.com and now on msonewsports.com, will be showing the video games at the Sylvan Street Grill. So we'll be seeing those games. Those games will be available on Friday night on one of the big screen TVs in the sports section, in the sports lounge at the Sylvan Street Grill. So if you can't make it to the games, check it out over there. And when you see Ernie Tremblay or anybody else, any of the other fine people there at the Sylvan Street Grill, mention that you are watching it or you want to watch it on MSO and you want to see it on more msonewsports.com, msonewsports.com, which, of course, is part of morestuffonline.com. So we got a full slate of schedules. We've got about 25 to 30 games this year once again, Channel A, Channel B, Friday, Saturday, and, of course, our streaming. And, of course, that will also take us down to Thanksgiving, when we'll have our three games, Danvers at Gloucester, Beverly at Salem, Lynn Classical at Lynn English, and we'll be doing games during the playoffs as well. And maybe we'll talk to Les a little bit about that playoff schedule and see how that's going to go this year. And I'm not sure if this is the last year of this particular format or not. I don't know if they've renewed it, so I'll ask Les and we'll see about that. Anyway, that's the story there. If you have some suggestions or comments, I have a new email address I'd like you to send it to msowebradio@gmail.com or rick@msowebradio.com. So rick@msowebradio.com would be the place to go. Send us your comments, your complaints, your suggestions, and we'll take a look and we'll get back to you, I can tell you. Tim is off tonight. Tim will be back next week. A couple of weeks coming up, we'll be having the Gloucester Hall of Fame, the Gloucester High School Hall of Fame induction into their Sports Hall of Fame. And we hope to talk with Nick Kukru again tonight about the most recent pair of individuals that Nick featured in the Gloucester Times on, I think it was Thursday and Friday last week, or Friday and Saturday, not sure which it was, but the most two recent entrees into the Sports Hall of Fame entries Nick will talk about those coming up. Okay, I think that'll do it. We're going to take our first break of the... Boy, I'm glad I'm not in the stock market today, I guess. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear about that? The stock market plummeting. 1,000 points at the beginning of the day before finishing at a loss of 588 overall. But, wow, good heavens. Hope that bounces back quickly. We should probably have a business show on that. Maybe Josh Arnold will stop by and fill us in on that. Anyway, we'll take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we will be talking with Gary Larrabee, all things golf here on MSONewsSports.com.
North Shore Radio. MoreStuffOnline.com. News and sports for the entire North Shore.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the entire North Shore for over 23 years. Hi, this is the owner, Kevin Harrington.
And I'm Marty Harrington, Kevin's son. We are a family-owned business supplying some of the highest quality academic and athletic awards, such as trophies, plaques, and medals, customized engraving, embroidery and silkscreen services for t-shirts, performance wear, jackets, sweatshirts, and more. Our premium quality corporate awards include plaques, clocks, crystal, acrylic, and glassware. For golf tournaments, we provide an assortment of gifts to offer from customized wind jackets, performance golf wear, umbrellas, cooler bags, and more. Check out our products online at HarringtonTrophy.com.
Our clients and friends throughout the North Shore are proud to award our quality products, and we at Harrington Trophy have prided ourselves in our personal, prompt, and exceptional customer service over the years. Ask for Kevin, Marty, or George. We are located in Lynn and serve the entire North Shore as we ship and deliver anywhere. Or check us out online at HarringtonTrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Tufts.
Harvard.
Smith.
Boston College.
Olin.
Georgetown.
Berkeley.
Salem State University.
University of Massachusetts.
What is the common denominator?
St. Mary's in Lynn. Find your authentic self and attend your preferred option for college. All at St. Mary's.
A Catholic college preparatory school educating students in grades 6 through 12 from all North Shore communities.
Visit, explore, and apply today at stmaryslynn.com/champion.
All right, a little drumline action there in the background. We return now with Gary Larrabee, sports writer for the Salem News. And Gary, I trust you didn't do all that badly today in the stock market with all of your holdings.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, I think. Oh my goodness gracious! What an interesting day business wise. Anyway, Gary, let's get down to sports. Thank goodness. A lot going on in golf, and I want to kind of harken back to last week. As I recall, you had an article in Salem News, your Friday feature, about a guy who had a long time between drinks of water. Do I have that right?
Yes, indeed. 30 years between club championships at Beverly Golf and Tennis for Rick Riddick, who's been around a long time, as is his late dad Frank and his brother Jim, all very good golfers here on the North Shore over the years. His brother and dad at the Salem Country Club for many years, and Rick pretty much over at Pebbly Golf and Tennis, and Rick had won his first club championship at the age of 31, and now 30 years later, he wins his second, and at the age of 61, not too shabby for an old whippersnapper.
That's pretty cool. I like that, and shows you guys our age can still compete.
No, we're seeing more and more of this, Rick. I think that saying that goes that the new 60 is the old 50, the new 70 is the old 60 or 55, whatever. This certainly applies in golf. And it's been going on for quite a while in golf, because Rick reminded me, because he was curious after he won at the age of 61, the fact that Pat Grinnies, the late, great Pat Grinnies, a former state amateur champion, he won the club championship over there at 61. And lo and behold, the same thing happened at Charlie Bulger. And lo and behold, Steve Swedberg, who you may remember at the age of 51, qualified for the U.S. Senior Open at Salem way back in 2001, completely out of the blue. He won his most recent club championship at Pebbly Golf and Tennis at the age of 64. So there's something either over in the water or in the Chivas Regal at the bar or something. Keeping these guys playing awfully good golf as they pass their 60th birthday.
I know, and I know a lot of guys who get even better on the 19th hole as they get older.
in some cases, yes, but it is a glorious thing about golf. We talked about it before, and you can start the game at the age of 50. You can keep playing to the age of 80, 85, and 90, or even older if you're fortunate enough with your health, and you keep those bones and those hips and those knees and those shoulders working okay, because a lot of golfers will play a lot of golf, Rick.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I've maintained throughout my adult life is that at every age that I am, I'm younger physically than my parents were at that same age due to the lifestyle that they had and the lifestyle we have. So I think that can continue with certainly recreational sports like perhaps bicycling or golf or tennis, that kind of thing. And I'm also reminded when I was a kid of watching former President Dwight Eisenhower play a lot of golf, and I think he was in his 80s at that time.
Very possibly, because the one thing that golfers who play an awful lot have to watch out for is, like I said before, their bones, their joints, their shoulders, their knees. They can have a lot of surgical problems down the road. Not everyone, but it's something you have to watch out for. But it's the most glorious part of the game. You can keep playing. There's no age limit.
All right. You got a lot of other things that you have on your agenda here that reference to our regional golf, so let's get to it.
Let's even go with me one step beyond regional for this one night, Rick. It's worth noting that Davis Love won the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour yesterday at the age of 51. He became the third oldest winner on the PGA Tour in all of history. Sam Snead's number one. My old buddy, the late, great Art Wall, is number two. He also won at the age of 51. I think Snead was a little bit older, maybe 54 or 55. But a great accomplishment for Davis Love, who was the coming back for a second goal run as the Ryder Cup captain. And he can certainly show those young kids a point or two, a tip or two, and having won another title on the PGA Tour. And we should be seeing Davis in 2 years at the U.S. Senior Open coming back to Salem in 2017. Very exciting. The other two winners on the tour yesterday, also worth making note of, Lydia Ko, 18 years old from New Zealand, a Korean. She won the third tournament of the year. And she is looming, no question, to be the new superstar on the tour, even though the Koreans are winning the majors. Lydia's won a major, two majors already, and she's still, I think, the player to beat every week on the women's tour. And, New England, Billy Andrade won on the Champions Tour yesterday out in Washington State. Great to see Billy win again, and because we've got the Deutsche Bank Championship coming up in two weekends at TPC Boston after they kick off the four-week playoffs this weekend in the metropolitan New York. So lots to look forward to there, but a few other fellows to give a plug to, if you'll allow me, Rick.
Of course.
Let's talk about the 95th New England PGA Championship played last week at Concord and Neshonnick. Our two best finishers both finished in the seventh spot, tied for seventh. My opener assistant, Dan Venezia, just came back from playing in the first two rounds of the PGA Championship out of Whistling Straits. He got right back into the groove, and played well enough to shoot a one under par 215, as did Kirk Hannafeld, our old friend from formerly from Salem Country Club, 59 years old, Kirk Hannafeld, who can still play with the youngsters. But the youngster of the week, of course, was the first repeat champion in 14 years, and that was Rich Berberian Jr. from Wyndham up in the just over the border in New Hampshire, who was his boss, of course, is Joanne Flynn Dam, his native daughter of the late, great Bill Flynn. But the fellow who was the most recent back-to-back winner of the New England PGA Championship, Rick?
I don't know, Gary. Tim's not here.
Well, that's what I don't think he would know either, but one and only Kirk Hannafeld won a back-to-back in 2000 and 2001, so it's a rare accomplishment. Good for Rich, and Rich had played in the U.S. Open back in June, so Rich has got some serious game. Just to mention all the other club pros in the area who with North Shore connections who made the cut, Turner Hills' Todd Scarafone shot 218, Golf Country's Joe Rocha and Hathaway's Chip Johnson were 219. Kevin Wood, and I should say Kern with Frank Dully, was a 223. Oakley's Scott Johnson, a Peabody native, was a 225. Another myopia assistant, Nicholas Knight, made the cut at 230. And Bass Rock's Derek Franklin also made the cut at 234. Congratulations to all of them.
Excellent, excellent. And you mentioned last week a date. I think it was 1984 or 1985. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did. I mentioned the year 1985, which was sidetracked this week because of Rich Rinnick's unique accomplishment. It may be bumped for one more week. We may be talking about Mark Thompson this week, Rick, who has taken over the reins of the Commodore Open. Now it's called the Mike Frangos Memorial Commodore Open. Mark Thompson from Hamilton, who runs Boston Private Bank and Trust. He's never running the Commodore Open at the behest of Mike Frangos before he passed away for the last 21 years. We're going to give him a little shout-out this week.
Okay.
And the rest of it, I'll give you, make it a surprise.
All right, that sounds good. And finally, Gary, what's your take on Tiger Woods' performance this weekend?
Well, he made it interesting for a couple of rounds, and even for the third one, he's only two shots back. We're going to the final round, but he couldn't close the deal. If he had closed the deal in one, he would be playing this week. Would have qualified for the FedEx playoffs, but I think it's the first time he's missing the FedEx playoffs either since injury or that very unique mishap he had a few years ago at Thanksgiving time. I think he missed the FedEx playoffs the following year. But he still gets some game. We'll just see how it evolves. He won't play for the next several weeks. He'll wait till October, I think, to play again. He'll have to sit in the sidelines and see who steps up these next 4 weeks, whether it's Bill Haas, who won a couple of years ago, or maybe, of course, Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy. They're both in the field these next 4 weeks, and it'll be fun to watch. They're all on TV. You can follow the stuff all on the Internet. It'll be fun to watch.
Absolutely. All right, Gary, anything else you want to mention?
No, just keep swinging that club, Rick, slowly and surely, and keep your eyes on the ball. Do not close your eyes before you make contact.
Okay. All right, great advice as always. Thanks, Gary. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
You will.
Bye-bye. That's Gary Larrabee, who is golf writer for the Salem News, golf historian, sports historian, a sports writer in general, knows a lot about a lot of sports, but right now concentrating on golf, of course. And you can hear his interviews and reports on Saturday mornings with Nick and Nick on North Shore 104.9, too. I believe that's on at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 every Saturday with Nick Kukru and Dom Nicastro, a couple of former students of mine. All right, we'll be back, and we'll check in with Les Murray, who is the commissioner for the Northeastern Conference and Cape Ann League.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All All right, we're right back at it, and joining us now is the commissioner for the Cape Ann League / Northeastern Conference, Les Murray. Hi, Les.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, and how are you in this fine, humid evening?
Well, everything is good for me.
That's good. I'm glad I'm not in business today. I guess it was quite a day on the stock market. Anyway, Les, let's get down to it. Football began today, of course, for high schools. They passed out uniforms, first day of practice and all, and I'm just wondering, with the change, let's talk about the Northeast Conference first. No, but you know what? Before that, let me just mention that Les Murray, of course, is a longtime educator in the area, former administrator, teacher, and also now the commissioner of both leagues. And I think Les has probably done everything in sports and education except possibly sing the national anthem at Fenway Park. You haven't done that yet, have you, Les?
No, I haven't done that.
All right, all right. You put that on your list of things to do. I want to see you do it, but get it done in 90 seconds. Don't give me the soul version. All right. Les, football. In Northeast Conference, a shift again in tiering. Gloucester moving down, other schools moving up. And does that create, what kind of problems does that create for you as, you know, as the commissioner trying to put this schedule together?
Well, every 2 years we take a look at won and loss records and take a look at strength of schedule and so forth. So, yeah, every 2 years in all the sports I have to redo the schedules. We switch up different orders and stuff so that people are seeing different teams at different times in the year. So that's nothing new.
That's nothing new. All right. So any particular difficulties with putting this one together? And when do you, as I recall, you start this like 6 or 9 months ahead of time, don't you?
Usually started 2 seasons before. So
2 seasons.
The fall season, I would start 2 seasons. I usually start that by the winter.
Okay. And so this one is pretty much good to go. Some tweaks along the way, I guess. But for the most part, everything is kind of set in stone. And each individual school usually puts it up on their website. You have a general form you send out to the schools, and they tweak it?
Yes, that's how they do it, and they'll make adjustments. One adjustment, obviously, is that Beverly can't play any home games this year, so they've made some adjustments along those lines. But once the schedule is done, those schools do the tweaks, and then that's what the public sees.
Okay, and they get back to you, I'm sure, and make sure everything is copacetic?
Correct.
Okay. What about the Cape Ann League? How did that shake out this year for football?
Well, the Cape Ann League voted to stay with the same alignment for another 2 years. In football, they didn't change it one iota. They just stayed with it, and we just shook it up a little bit to make sure the team saw different opponents at different times. That's all.
Okay. Now, changes or how do changes, if any, of in rules or the MIAA? How does that affect what you do, Les?
Well, the league, the MIAA, obviously is a governing body, and many things they want we follow in with, but. Yeah, I mean, they tried that new football change this year. That didn't go over real well, or they wanted to start even earlier. Really didn't talk to the member schools. That kind of upset us a little bit. So myself as the representative of the league, I would let representatives of the MIA know how the NEC or how the Cal feels about some of the things that go forward.
All right. And, whoops, I just knocked my microphone over here. So what are some of the other things that you have to do now? As football gets into it, what are your duties during the football season? Because I know you're involved, you know, obviously in scheduling 2 seasons away, so which means hockey and basketball is probably working on that or getting close to finishing it. But during the football season, what are some of your duties while the season is ongoing?
Well, I mean, the ADs are in touch with me about different things that may come up. You may have suspended games. You may have officiating situations. You may have some tweaks with the schedule as far as sub-varsity and so forth, as well as I'm meeting with them on a monthly basis. So anytime maybe a rule has been misinterpreted, maybe it has to come before the body to rule on, those types of things. I mean, all kinds. I'm getting awards ready for the fall season, at the end of the fall season, so that's a lot what I'll start to do. I'll have those ready for the ADs in October. So certainly I have more than enough to do no matter what the month it is.
Well, I was going to say, it's not just football, is it? Aren't you? You got all the sports.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Soccer, everybody. All those schedules come through me, although in some cases, like in outdoor and indoor tracks, some of those ADs are more integrally involved with that. So sometimes the ADs will really help out and do those schedules for me. Because they've had so much time doing it,
mm-hmm.
There's some tweaks that they want to do to make sure it happens in a certain way.
Okay, well, you got a lot of younger ADs as well, and how are they assimilating? Without mentioning any names, how does that work? Because you've got some of the older guys you can rely on. You've got contacts, of course, from your long career in education, but how does it work with some of the younger guys?
Well, usually what happens with the younger guys is, well, I'm available to both leagues almost on a 24/7 basis. So usually what happens is I call the younger guys, I give them the kind of the lay of the land, and then many times some of the guys that have been at it for a long period of time in the NEC and the Cal, I'll give them their names about different questions they may have about different sports. And as you probably know, each AD takes on sports that they're kind of the chairman of. So for, you know, for like football in the NEC, any new AD would call Gary Malaya, who is the football AD,
okay,
in charge of that. And that's how we do it. I mean, we had some situations where an AD may be out sick or something, and you'd be surprised how the other ADs just jump right in and take on those extra duties and make sure that that stays afloat.
All right, so you have sort of an organizational chart that you can sort of rely on.
Oh, absolutely. And they really help each other. And it's really the job that I do is made so much easier by the amount of time and energy and effort that the ADs do.
And one thing that's changed over the years is the input, the influx of women coaches and women athletic directors. And if we take a look at girls sports in both the NEC and the CAL, I'd say probably in the last 10 years, Les, they've really grown by leaps and bounds.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, they're on par. It wasn't so long ago in basketball that in women's sports you could only have so many people run the full length of the court. And
right.
People thought they couldn't shoot or they couldn't do this, couldn't do that. I mean, my wife was a female athlete, and she set me on the straight and narrow that the girls could do just as much as the boys anytime.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. I am definitely familiar with that. What about, and this is an ongoing topic for us here at on North Shore Sports Night with Tim and a bunch of coaches and so on. The playoff system in play now, is this the last year of this particular format before it gets renewed?
You're talking about football?
Yeah, I'm sorry, football.
Well, the NIAA decided not to put it back to the member schools for any kind of input, although that was our understanding that was going to be done. That caused quite a bit of consternation in both the Cape Ann League and the Northeast Conference. To put it mildly, we were not real happy with that decision that it was not coming to a vote again. So they voted to tweak it a little bit, but did not bring it to a vote for us. They basically continued it another 2 years. They said 1 year. Well, we'll wait and see what happens with that.
Right.
But most of the ADs are pretty united in saying that when this was voted in, we were under the impression that after 2 years that there may be another vote or there may be another significant change in the format. One of the things the NEC was particularly upset with was when our teams get knocked out of the tournament, we're more interested in playing other members of the NEC.
Right, right.
We are traversing the state and playing somebody that nobody cares about. So what we've tried to get them to do is to allow us to get back into a scheduling such as, let's just say Marblehead and Salem were knocked out. We'd want to play that game between Marblehead and Salem and not play, like we have in the past, another league in a bracket once we're out of the tournament.
I think that's great, Les, and I wish you luck with that because that drove a lot of people crazy, including me as a fan last year. I mean, Gloucester was playing down teams that I'd never even heard of before, and they'd have no relationship with those schools whatsoever. And it's tough to get parents, it's tough to get fans other than parents to go to those games.
Yep, and I was one of the proponents against this format for that reason. And just this last, I think it was this last spring, Bob Holmes called me up and asked me for a follow-up interview. And I told him exactly what I thought about it. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I called some of those games after the getting knocked out of the tournament cricket games because that's the only thing you were listening to during that time because nobody was going to see them.
I know. And I also noticed we had at our station a tremendous drop-off in listeners and participants in our Thanksgiving Day games, which absolutely shocked me. But I guess some of the thrill was gone by that point.
Yeah, well, we're not playing Thanksgiving rivals anymore in the NEC during the season. We
Good.
Went away with that.
Yep.
The Cal has kept some of those elements still happening, but the NEC did away with that, and we realigned to try to get that so that wouldn't happen again.
Excellent. Well, we're talking with Les Murray, who is the commissioner of the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference for all sports in high school. And And Les, are there similarities between the two leagues? Because there's a close relationship. There's a lot of neighboring towns and cities and so forth. And there's a lot of rivalry. So is there a really close connection between the two leagues as well?
Well, there is a lot of crossover. Many of the leagues always cross over and play each other in different non-league sports. And one similarity between the leagues is there's an intense rivalry because all of the schools are in close proximity to each other. And that's what we've said to the state about these playoff proposals. I mean, for the NEC and the Cal, we get more out of playing, crosstown rivals than we do even in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true,
Until we get to the Super Bowl, people, quite frankly, are really not interested.
That's pretty interesting. Now what about, is there a possibility somewhere down the road, and I've always kind of fantasized about this, of some kind of a super league among the CAL, the NEC, and possibly... a Middlesex school or two?
Well, the CAL is talking with the GBL right now. They're going to make a presentation to us the end of September. I'm not sure how that will go. I know there was some interest in the NEC a few years ago with the GBL, and there was also some interest, if you recall, the Cal and the NEC combined for a couple years to have those divisions where we had divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
And there were quite a few people that were very happy with that division. Matter of fact, the Division III, if you remember, was very, very competitive. Nobody ever knew who was going to win what game during the entire year.
Yeah, that was fun that year, I agree. And again, the schools are in such close proximity. And to see the Newburyports and Ipswich and Hamilton Wenham, and, you go up to even some of the Merrimack Valley Conference schools up in Andover and that thing, it's a natural for some of these. But, anyway, hopefully you guys will get that the way the fans want it at some point. But it sounds like you're having a lot of fun with this, Les.
Well, I enjoy it. It's a way for me to stay involved. I enjoy working with all the ADs. They're so infectious with their energy and the amount of time and effort they put into it. And I don't think anybody, unless you've done the job as an AD, understand how many hours that takes.
Well, that's the other thing I was gonna mention. Some of the athletic directors, I don't know how many, but some of them are full time, perhaps as ADs, but most of them carry a teaching load as well, and that's just almost an impossible job.
Well, and the other part of it is there's a few ADs in both leagues that have schools have seen to combine the assistant principal's duties with an AD job, and I did that earlier in my career, and I'll tell you, that is really a very difficult thing to do unless you get, like, added support. If you get a faculty manager or you get somebody that can help with game day administration, because you're going all day as an assistant principal, and then you're going half the night as an AD.
Do you get satisfaction out of helping some of these other guys, athletic directors or the women athletic directors, when they give you a call, perhaps with something that perplexes them, but you've got the experience and you can fall back and give them a little bit of advice that maybe they hadn't thought of? Is that part of what makes you do this job?
Well, I like it. I like it that way. My wife gets a little perplexed when I get an emergency call that a thunderstorm has happened and people have suspended the game and people want to talk to me about what the makeup possibilities are. I mean, it is a 24/7 for me, and I, my phone is on my hip and I try to answer people as soon as I can, depending on where I am. But, I like the problem-solving aspect
Excellent.
Of it, and I like being a resource. So, because, they're out there, they're right on the line, and for them to give me a call in the middle of a game and ask for an interpretation, and then I can get right back and give them that. I get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in a way, in a sense, you're a little bit out of the straight line communication, but you're still involved in teaching kids.
Yep. And the nice part about it is too is that I'm kind of the as a commissioner, secretary, treasurer, what have you. I'm kind of like the independent voice for the league. I don't have an allegiance, even though I was a principal in one of the Cal schools. I don't have an allegiance when I put out a schedule or I make an interpretation.
Yeah.
It's usually for the good of the league. So I do like that aspect.
Yeah, that's...
I like setting up the banquets. We set up that nice NEC banquet for our scholar athletes at the end of the year. That's a nice thing to see at the end of the year, as well as giving out awards to the coaches in both leagues at the end of the year after their seasons have finished. So.
That's super. That's one of the things as a radio announcer with WESX and working with Bill Newell, it's the same feeling I have, both with the Cape Ann League and the conference, is that we have a loyalty to the area, and so we can root for not just one team, but we can root for all the teams and all the kids. We don't have any allegiance to any of them, and we certainly wish all of them well. So it's a great place to be.
Funny, when I go to games, all of a sudden I find myself being known to every official around as I go by on the sideline. It seems like all the officials know who I am as I walk by. That's kind of funny.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I think it's a good thing. To know the commissioner is in the house, or to know that I'm at a certain game and I can see different people, I think that's a good thing.
Well, you give a good name to football, Commissioner, contrary to what we're seeing nationally. So it's good to have you. Good to have you as a direct descendant.
I don't even know if we can comment on that. I think he's taken enough of a thrashing by the federal court. I hope it just goes the way we think it will.
I know. But, the other thing is with not just with football, but with all sports, I know how busy you are. Do you have an office you can go to, or do you have an office at home?
I have an office at home. I'll vary between the dining room table and up in my other office. But I have, the file cabinet and all the schedules, and I use my phone as my mobile office, because these days with a smartphone I can go to Dropbox, and like I did for you guys, you asked me the other day for the directories. I just popped that right off my phone, and I got that right to you.
That's awesome, and it's right there, and we can grab it as well. Is there a league website for schedules and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we use Mass Scores.
Mass Scores.
Cal uses it more than the NEC.
Okay.
NEC is more, they're more school-based.
Okay.
Cal has gone almost exclusively Mass Scores with Chris Lamoth.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know Chris.
Several of the schools are using that website for scheduling and reporting standings and so forth.
Yeah, all right. Well, Les, it's always a real adventure for me to talk with you and learn what the hell's going on around here. Anything else you want to mention about fall sports? Because we concentrated on football, but there's so much else going on.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you got your soccer, you got your field hockey. There's all kinds of stuff going on every night. And all I'd say to your listeners is that, hey, if you have nothing else to do, go down and just watch the kids play. Because you know what? They just love to see people there watching them play. And there's nothing better and more pure than high school sports at this point in time. If you really want to see good competition, just go to our website, go to Mass Scores, or go to the school websites, and you can see almost any team play almost any day. And, it's a big bang for your buck, for sure.
Yeah. And I would add to that, you don't even have to spend money. You can see the sub-varsity, and it's just as much. Those kids love having you there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's great.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, Les. Well, I hope we can catch up with you during the season and maybe just chat with you from time to time.
It's not a problem at all. Just, like you did, just drop me a line. I'm available most of the time, unless I'm doing something with the wife or I'm out or I'm on vacation. Every once in a while, I do those vacations still.
Good.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be on anytime you want.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Les, and we will talk to you later, but thanks for the time tonight.
All right, good enough.
Thank you, sir. All right, that is Les Murray, who is the commissioner for the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference, and as you can hear, a very enthusiastic gentleman with tons and tons of experience, very upbeat, and following in the footsteps of the all-time great commissioner of the CAL and NEC, Dick Baker, and Les is certainly worthy of that, and following in Dick Baker's footsteps, and always so helpful to us. We appreciate Les's help. He's been tremendous with us since he's been the new commissioner, which has only been for a short time. So the football schedules are there. The schedules, I believe that the rest of the varsity sports begin on Thursday. Football begins today, but the other varsity sports around the area begin on Thursday, and then schedules will be out. They'll be getting getting the season underway as soon as school gets started, and school begins for most people next Tuesday, I believe, or at least in Gloucester. I think the teachers go back on Monday, and then the kids go in on Tuesday. So they're in a week before Labor Day this year, and then our first football game is on the weekend of the 11th. On September 11th will be the first game. We will be broadcasting Gloucester hosting Lynn Classical from Newell Stadium, New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. That'll be our video broadcast game. And we'll also have Beverly at Wakefield. That will be on Channel B. And then on Saturday, we'll travel down to Swampscott. It'll be Lynn English at Swampscott. And we've got about a half a dozen Beverly games, half a dozen or more Gloucester games. We have a bunch of Lynn games, including Lynn Classical and English. And, of course, we're covering every team in the conference during the regular season, with the possible exception of Saugus. We may not have Saugus during the regular season. But the 3 weeks of the playoffs are all TBAs, and we'll be doing plenty of games then as well. And, of course, the first playoff game is scheduled for Halloween night, wouldn't you know it. But that's all coming up in football. We're not going to shortchange the other sports either, believe me. Bill Newell is available to us on a more frequent basis now, and Bill and I have some things planned, including this week in high school sports that Bill does such a great job on, which will cover all of the other sports as well. We'll have that program on. We're going to do a football pregame show. We'll probably have a football scoreboard show as well as other programming too. Josh Arnold is preparing a new program about elected officials in the region and politics in the region, and that's going to be on MSO News Sports. So a lot of new programming coming up, a lot of things to do. We're going to have something called the North Shore Today, which will be a daily news magazine, and that's all coming up here. So please spread the word. Let people know about msonewsports.com, msonewsports.com, which can also be read as msonewsports.com. And let people know about it so that we can begin to build our listenership and get our advertisers happy. We want you to, visit our advertisers and let them know that you heard about it on msonewsports.com. Okay, we'll take a break, and we're going to go to the Revere football coach, Lou Ciccatelli, coming right up. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Tim Kearns is off tonight.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are back, and it's my great pleasure to bring back the Revere football coach, Lou Ciccatelli. We haven't talked with Coach in a while, but he is back. Lou, how are you doing?
Doing well. As always, thanks for having me, guys. I was looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Lou, and I missed you at the most recent banquet. I love checking in with you. It's just great for us to have that connection down there with you guys. And let's start right away with the new field. I mean, you guys... You've had to play in a dust bowl that turns into a mud bowl the past few years, but that's not true anymore. Tell us about it.
No, it's quite a beautiful space. They did a really good job with it. It's been a long time coming. The Mayor Rizzo, promised us a few years ago that it was going to happen, and he came through his promise. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place, and not just for football. Pop Warner gets to use it, and also the people in Revere get to walk the track every day. They use it an awful lot. And I don't know if you had a chance to see it.
Hold on one second. I'm over here. No, Bill Newell went over there and took a bunch of pictures. We've got pictures of it up on our website. By the way, we have a new website. It's called msonewsports.com. msonewsports.com. It's the end. But anyway, Bill, we got a bunch of pictures up there. He took a bunch of pictures of the stadium. I haven't seen it yet in person, but we are going to be doing your Gloucester game, so we'll be there.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it's great. I mean, we actually got the first time officially to get on the field today. Had about 75 kids, which are pretty good numbers for us today at our early morning session. So, yeah, it's exciting. Where the kids are excited. Like I said, it's been a long time waiting. You remember that field. And
oh, yeah.
being on the road last year, it was a lot for the guys, but they stuck it out and they get the reward this year.
Well, the thing is, I know when Gloucester opened up their field, you know, they were on the road the season before.
Yeah.
And they opened it up with all the teams. All the teams got to be on the field and walk on the field on the first football game and be introduced and everything. It was a big event, you know. And the freshmen, even the freshman kids who got to play on the field, it's just such a I don't know. It's almost like a major league or a college experience the first time you get out there with that brand new field.
Oh gosh, it's huge. In fact, we have some very very big plans planned for opening night. I know that they actually have to bring it back to 72 Super Bowl team, I believe. That's the plan at the half, and they're going to try to introduce those guys and recognize a few other Revere football icons. I believe they're going to have Patriots dressed up in the end zones and with the muskets. So it's
excellent.
They really do a good job with it. Yeah, I mean, the city's excited, the kids are excited, and I'm excited.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about high school sports, and I guess, you know, football more than most, I suppose, but there's a big pomp and ceremony that goes with it, and there's a special feeling about being back in school, the fall weather and so on, and the big crowds. It's more, I know as a coach, you're focused primarily and solely on, you know, on getting the kids to play the game, but it's so much more than that.
Oh, it is. I mean, no question about it. It's funny. We have a new athletic director by the name of Frank Shea. Sean Hart went over to Burlington. Frank and I, with some other people, have been on a committee, and yeah, it is. There's a lot of planning to do, and we're trying to get it all in place for opening day, September 11th. But basically, what I told them is, once the planning's done, I don't want nothing else to do with it. I want to focus on the football.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I can understand. Luke Ciccatelli, the Revere football coach, is our guest. And Lou, let's talk a little bit about the projections for this year. First of all, off-season, how did things go? I know that you encourage kids to play other sports, you know, and some of your underclassmen, after football season is over, they go right back into the weight room. But, you know, bring us forward from say, Thanksgiving to now.
Sure. We've had a spectacular off season. As you know, these kids this year, they're all seniors. They played together and started as sophomores for the last 2 years. We took some lumps on the way, but they've done a great job working out in the weight room, doing drills, doing 7-on-7s. We were up at a 7-on-7 passing league, the Under Armour tournament, and I know it's only 7-on-7, but we did make it to the Final Four out of over 75 teams. And you know, we're trying to throw in the football this year. So, to me, that bodes well. Even though it's only 7-on-7, your kids get together, they're having success, and you also get to work some defensive stuff. So, we're real excited. Mm-hmm. Really, really excited. And we get some great leadership. I have my two captains, Brandon Brito and Dan Murphy, both captains, and they've been great leaders thus far.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what about in the summertime? I know that you know, you can't have an official program, but you can have a thing where all the kids work out and so on. So do you have something like that in Revere as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So basically, we have an open gym during the whole summer. So we have the basketball team down there, all the girls' sports. Sometimes there's over 100 kids a night down there, whether they're playing hoop, they're in the weight room, and I put them on all different programs. A bunch of other coaches, the basketball coaches, are down there to help out. And it's just a great mix of kids. Everybody's involved, all the sports, and it went very, very well this summer.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, Lou, we're going to talk, you know, as the season goes on, we'll get into it. Obviously, I need to talk to you before the Gloucester game about lineups and so on. But in general, you said you had a pretty good turnout with numbers. And how has that gone last few seasons? Because I know in the past it's tough sometimes getting kids to even participate because they have so many other things that they have to do.
Yeah, well, you know, Revere, like the Lynn schools, it's hard. It's hard, and you do your best to recruit kids. And I'll tell you, we've been fortunate this year. I think the new field helped. I think last year, you know, being on the road, we had somewhere in the 40s with the varsity squad. We're probably close to 60 now.
Mm-hmm.
I got about 25 freshmen. So the numbers are okay. For me, that's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty competitive. Sometimes numbers can be a headache, but for us, we'll take as many kids as we can get to get a little bit of depth because I'm one of those guys, I've always said it. I think we're going to be in the mix this year.
Now, which tier are you in? You are in the upper tier, lower tier, what is it?
We're in the lower tier.
Okay, so you're in the, with the smalls, all right.
Yep, and we think we're going to be in the mix, and with that said, it's the depth.
Well, Lou, you guys, you're competitive. Exactly. It's sort of like when I talk with Sean Driscoll over at Winthrop. Every year you're competitive, but sometimes the numbers get thin, and then you're kind of stuck, and the same thing happens with Revere. I mean, excuse me, with Winthrop.
Yep, he's got the same issues going on over there. He does a great job over there, too, and you know, so that's something we're fighting all the time, and hopefully with these numbers we can keep these kids, retain them. And like I said, we're looking for a good season this year. Like I said, the kids are played together as sophomores. They all started, and now mm-hmm. they're seniors, so hopefully we can make a little noise.
All right, so you see you're going to be throwing the ball this year?
We are. My quarterback's back, Danny Murphy. I got some pretty darn good receivers. Mm-hmm. I got a pretty veteran offensive line, and we're going to spread it out, and we're going to wing it around a little bit.
Loving it, loving it. Now, did the kids get to practice on the field as well?
Well, today. So today was a great day. Yep, they were out there today throwing the ball around, and like I said, we did that Under Armour 7-on-7, and we got a lot of reps. And the good thing about that is I've had some good volunteers that were out there, and looking at my offense. So the kids learned, and it was a good learning curve, and hopefully we can make it work throughout the season.
All right, finally, what's your schedule like now the next couple of weeks or before school starts?
So we're out there, a lot of conditioning tomorrow, conditioning on Wednesday. Kids go back to school on Wednesday.
Okay.
Me, it's a short session. We'll practice 3 to 6 next couple of days, and then we're heading up to, actually, we have Hamilton Wenham at home. They're coming to us this year, Saturday, for a little scrimmage. And then we've got St. Mary's the following Tuesday, and then Marblehead on Friday.
Man, you ain't screwing around with your preseason, are you?
No. No, we've got it all ready to go. It's
holy cow.
And like I said, hopefully we can improve and do something.
Well, you got some competition right away. That's pretty cool. Lou, anything else you want to mention? I'm just very excited about the fact we're going down to Revere again and doing a game. But, you know, it's always great talking with you and your enthusiasm. I know how much you love working with the kids and so on. But anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
No, I just can't wait to see your expression when you see the field.
All right.
I think you're going to be real excited.
I know I am. Coach, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lou. Take care.
I know.
That is Lou Ciccatelli, who is the Revere football coach, and as you can hear, again, another very enthusiastic young man who's been at it for quite a while, a very experienced coach with an experienced staff, and they're always competitive. Revere always plays well. They don't usually have a lot of numbers, and so if there's an injury or two, it certainly cuts into the to their depth, which makes it very difficult for them to compete at the level they had been. And that happens in high school. It happens in many high schools. And some of the smaller schools, some of the smaller turnouts, it's a little bit more difficult. What's interesting is that, you know, Revere now is one of the smaller schools. And I've mentioned this before. Gloucester is the fourth smallest school in the Northeastern Conference. And Marblehead is one of the bigger schools. The only schools smaller than Gloucester are Swampscott, Winthrop, and Saugus. So, that's kind of interesting, but Revere down in that league as well. They'll be competing with those schools. Revere will be competing with Gloucester, Winthrop, Swampscott, and Saugus. And then you've got the Lynn Classical, Beverly, Salem, Lynn English, Marblehead up in that upper tier. Am I leaving? Danvers? I'm not sure which. I think Danvers is in the upper tier as well. I'm not sure. But we'll have more on that as time goes on. Tim will come back and explain all that to us next week. So I think that's going to do it. We're going to wrap it up a little bit early here, as I'm going to try to make one more phone call, see if I get a hold of Nick. If not, we'll bail on this thing. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. We'll be right back.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
All right, Nick is available, thank goodness. The sports editor of the Gloucester Times, I dropped in on him unexpectedly this evening, but always answering the call. Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How's it going?
Good, good. I just want to continue the series with the Hall of Fame inductees for Gloucester High School. You had two more this past week, and again, two great choices. Maybe you could just give us a little summary on them again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had Kayla Riley, the all-time leading scorer for GHS field hockey, so that was kind of a no-brainer there. That one kind of explains itself. I mean, four-year starter, 2-year All-State, I want to say it was as well. NEC MVP. So that, I mean, that's those chops are tough to argue against.
Yep, that's a tough selection, right? Makes it they make it easy.
Yeah.
Who else did you have in there this weekend?
Another tough one, Katie Taramina.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Lee Spell, which she's still doing now. In high school, she was just as dominant. Two times top five in the All-State. She is the only female athlete ever at GHS to be All-Scholastic in two seasons.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, you know, All-Scholastic, I know in some sports kind of All-Stars and, you know, stuff have been watered down a bit, but not in track and cross-country because it just goes, you know, by how you do.
Yeah.
In the meets, there's really no arguing with them. I mean, she, you know, you basically have to finish top five in the All-State to get All-Scholastic, and she did it twice.
Great lady, and a mom, and still running competitively and winning. And yeah, as we talked about last week,
dominating.
Well, I mean, she's a world class athlete.
Yeah. Yep. Completely accurate. I hear she might be going to the Olympic trials soon for the marathon.
Oh, that would be something. Now, when is the Hall of Fame induction, Nick? I know it's a Sunday in September. When is that?
Yes, September 20th, over at the Fieldhouse.
Okay, because I guess I'm supposed to be there.
Okay.
Now, I was just talking to the Rivera football coach, Lou Ciccatelli, and he's a great guy to talk with, Nick, as I'm sure you know. He's very excited the fact that Rivera finally gets to play home this year after being on the road last year. They got a brand new stadium. They'll be playing in the same conference, the same tier as Gloucester. They'll be hosting Gloucester. But today, the first official day that the football teams could get out there. So did you get any notes from today's stuff?
Yeah, I went down to Gloucester practice, just kind of got the feel of what was going on. It was good. They kind of, you know, have a bit of a soft opening. They kind of go, you know, with a lot of conditioning and weightlifting and, you know, a lot of some maintenance stuff today. Tomorrow they'll really be back at it, you know, getting everything in that they need to.
Yeah, you have any ideas, numbers? Did you see how many kids were out?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'd say it was at least 50.
Okay.
They had the freshmen with the varsity. So they didn't look like there'll be any issues of depth.
Okay.
Yeah, so which was a good sign. I mean, a lot of familiar faces back too, which is also a good sign, and a lot of kids that played a lot, or you know, started at worst, played a lot last year, coming back this year. So they got a strong senior class, and it looks like they had a strong junior class too. So I think they'll be pretty good this year. I think they're one of the teams to beat in the NEC South.
Mm-hmm. Now, when do the other sports get started on Thursday?
Thursday, yep. Everyone else will be back at it on Thursday. Season starts September 8th, so it starts later this year.
And when does when do they go to school?
I think next week.
I think it's Tuesday next week, right? Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, I think the staff goes back Monday, the kids on Tuesday.
Yes.
So we're right back at it. Well, Nick, anything else you might want to mention? Any features? Any more features coming up in the paper we should be aware of this week?
Yeah, there's two more coming up at the end of this week. I haven't decided who they're going to be yet, but there's going to be two more.
Okay. All right. And as I said, I'm going to rely on you heavily in a couple of weeks.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, Nick, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.
Nope.
That is Nick Kukru, who is the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. Two more Hall of Fame inductees in last week's paper, and Kayla Riley, and Katie Taramina Mizoraka. Again, all worthy, and everybody selected this year, of course. Everybody who's in the Hall of Fame is worthy. Just tough getting, you got 100 years of athletics. It's tough to whittle it down to a few people each time you do it. So it's a tough job for the Hall of Fame committee, and they do a great job in every community. Well, that's going to do it for tonight. Tim Kern should be back with us next Monday. Bill Newell, of course, will be aboard. Bill working feverishly to get our football season together. A lot of great programming coming up here on msonewsports.com. We hope that you'll be part of it, and please spread the word, and please be kind to us by way of our sponsors. Let our sponsors know and our advertisers know that you are paying attention. We're able to do these games free of charge. We're able to stream them. Andrew Nicastro is our streamographer. We're able to stream them on Friday nights, again, and free of charge, and hopefully on some Saturdays as well. So give us a line. Drop us a line. Rick@msowebradio.com. That's Rick@msowebradio.com. And let us know about what you might think. Suggestions, complaints, whatever it might be. All right, that'll do it for now. Don't forget, take a look at the website. Check out all of our great articles on the website daily. We're updating daily. Contributors from all over the place with news and sports and community information. So please check it out, MSO.com. newsports.com. See you next week.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.